What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And on The Stack, we're going to talk to you about a bunch of comic books that came out this very day, Wednesday, October 10th, I want to say.
Yeah.
Could be. Maybe.
Today's the 9th, so tomorrow's the 10th.
All right. We're going to do a little bit of a shorter stack this week than we have done in the previous week, which I'd characterize as mega stacks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's get into it, kicking it off with Infinity Wars number 4 from Marvel Comics. Now, Pete, you have been ambivalent about this event, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Super confused. This issue did not help at all. Can you explain to me what's going on? I know there's people like, I saw my favorite character turned into a kind of like laid back, sophisticated guy, which was insane. I was like, oh my God, is Patch back? Nope, it's a weirder version of that.
Sure. Well, let me give you the recap thus far. Sure. So Gamora has gotten all the Infinity Stones. She has changed the universe, sucked everybody into the Soul Stone, into Soul World there. And while she's done that, she's melded the universe in half. Where Thanos got rid of half the universe, she compressed it.
So, yeah, she just combined people.
Right. So everybody's become these Infinity Warps, which are essentially two heroes or a hero and a villain or two villains in one.
Right.
And that's how the world works now. She's doing this so everybody will be distracted while she gets to the bottom of, I believe it's the Well of Stories or the Well of the Universe, and gets to the bottom, which currently is blocked from her and she doesn't understand why. Meanwhile, there's a spider creature, I think called Devandra, I might be getting that wrong, who lives in the Soul Stone. She knows this and it has been devouring everybody in there. So something is wrong with the Soul Stone and we don't know exactly what yet. So that's where we're left at the beginning of this issue. Loki has made his way into the Soul Stone. He hasn't been Infinity Warped. As revealed this issue, this is, of course, all part of his plan. He tricked Gamora so that he can get one up on her. But this issue, we're exploring these Infinity Warps and what's going on with them. I like this. There's a lot of big ideas in this issue. Mm-hmm. It zooms through the story crazy quickly.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
Well, I don't think it's hard to follow. I think it's pretty straightforward what's going on.
Okay, fine.
But I wanted more of it. Like, there's not enough weight to everything that's going on in this issue. It just kind of feels like a fun lark to me. When I know we're getting all of these miniseries that roll off it, but I want to see it happening in the main issue. And instead, everything gets sped through in a very quick manner. Now, granted, Granted, this is what we've been talking about with the series, is that it harkens back to Infinity War, which also zipped through things at an insane rate every issue. So I understand why they're doing it. But I like the ideas here. I want to spend more time with a Wolverine who is Emma Frost or a Miss Marvel that is Kang longer than we get.
I don't like the mashups. It's weird. And I think it's a cool event and I'm excited to see where it goes. Fun Ant-Man thing where he kind of like bursts through the spider. That was fun.
Yeah, I also like the team that they form at the end. I almost kind of wish it was all of the villains saving the Marvel Universe versus just a mix of villains and heroes. But I guess we'll see why everybody's together. And the art continues to be great.
Yep.
Moving on to Wonder Woman number 56. This is the second part of the Witching Hour crossover that's happening with Justice League Dark. It kicked off in a one-shot called Witching Hour number 1, or Wonder Woman Justice League Dark Witching Hour number 1. So we're following up on Wonder Woman has a weird symbol on her head that was activated by the witch Hecate, who it turns out is essentially the progenitor of magic in the DC universe. The heroes of Justice League Dark are trying to track some folks down to help them to get some answers. There's a lot of exposition in this issue.
Yeah, how did you liked it?
You did.
I really liked it
because it explained
follow. Yeah, it makes it easy to follow, which I really appreciated.
Oh, man, you got a theme this episode.
And also, I really love this team. I think it's a fun team, and I love Detective Chimp like calling himself out, like says the talking chimp driving a boat. I thought that was hysterical. There's a lot of cool stuff in this issue. What I don't like is Wonder Woman is usually a smarter character, where this, she's kind of so scared, it's kind of driving her in a way where she's not thinking before she acts.
But I like that. I like seeing Wonder Woman in a different light. I like seeing her in a place where she is unsure of things.
Amazingly. last page.
Great last page. The other thing that I get about this issue is it wasn't my favorite because it was a lot of info dump. But I like the fact that they did it early rather than waiting for the fourth or fifth issue to be like, here's what's really going on.
Yeah, do it early so we can follow what's going on, Zelbin.
Jesus Christ, you're the worst.
You're the worst.
You're the worst. Let's move on to something I am 100% sure you loved from Image Comics, Murder Falcon number one.
Oh my God, my new favorite comic. This is the best comic ever made. It is glorious. It is absolutely glorious. I am so happy this comic is in my life. I want to get a tattoo of the Murder Falcon. There's a Murder Falcon. And it has a metal arm. It is so cool. It is so cool. I'm having so much fun with this comic.
It is great. We've talked about a lot of metal comic books out here.
Especially lately.
Well, there's Black Metal, there's Lieutenants of Metal. They're both fun. So you'd think there wouldn't be room for another metal comic book. But this is delightful.
This is the best metal comic.
Well, here, I'm going to disagree with you on that, just on the basis of Black Metal is superb.
Okay, all right.
And this is just the first issue. But the idea of the book is there is a heavy metal rocker. At one time, it was pretty popular. Something terrible happened in his past. And
he has been able to pick up the guitar since.
He doesn't want to pick up the guitar, but monsters are invading the world, and the guitar calls to him. The guitar is bonded with an enormous, roided-out Murder Falcon who is able to fight through his metal music. So
his metal music gives him power.
Right.
That's how you fuel a Murder Falcon.
Yes.
Who also enjoys drinking beers.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I thought was wonderful about this book is that it is insanely over the top. But the art is simple, the art is clear, and when it gets to the emotional beats with the main character, it's very powerfully done.
Yeah, and it's also easy to follow, which is enjoyable.
Jesus Christ, <people. laughs> This is a fantastic debut, though.
It is such a great number one. It got me so excited about the series. Art is such a great collaboration of writing and art to create this fun, cool world. I'm so excited about this book.
It's great. I hope it keeps up because this is one of the better number one issues I've read in a really long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Moving on to another number one, Spider-Geddon number one.
Spider-Geddon?
Are you Spider-Geddon some?
Oh, boy.
So this is officially kicking off Marvel's big Spider event. It's a sequel to Spider-Verse. The Inheritors are coming back to the Marvel Universe. They're the people that eat spiders. So all the spiders from across the multiverse are banding together to try to stop it before they break through. The cause of them breaking through is Dr. Octopus, who's kind of trying to sort of be a hero, and it's not really working out. I thought this was a fun kickoff. It was not quite as big as Spider-Verse because we've already seen it once happen already, as well as the Venomverse event, which again was bringing all those Venoms together. So we've seen this kind of thing before, but the Inheritors are crazy powerful villains. I'm excited to see what will be brought to this that's new, because at this point, it's fun seeing Miles Morales and this whole crew fighting Dr. Octopus, but what's next? You know?
Right.
Like, it's a good tease, but I want to see it blow out to crazy proportions.
I like this team, especially because we're getting into the Spider-Verse movie, and it's the same team, so it's very enjoyable.
It's a little bit of a riff, but again, there's clearly a crossover going on there.
Right. And so I'm excited about the team, but of course it's like, the superior douchey Spider-Man, of course, is a villain, and he doesn't realize it because he's fucking douche. So I don't like him. I want him to die soon so I can get on with my life.
He's not going to. He's going to get a spinoff series.
Fuck my life.
I enjoyed this. I enjoy Christo Gage's writing. I like the art. I like the team. But like I said, I'm more eager to see what comes next.
I agree. I like the team. I just want to get... If we can just move past the douche and get to the fun, I'm excited.
It seems like he's going to be the central character of the series, Pete.
Fuck.
And I'm going to make you read everyone.
Cool.
Moving on to another Image comic, Infinite Dark number one. This is a book about a space station called the Orpheus that's in the middle of space. Some weird things are going down on it.
Seems like it always happens.
Just once. I want to read a story where it's like,
went to space. Everything was great.
Lots of stars.
Yep.
Came back.
No problems.
No demons or anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, if you're a fan of space horror, that's what this is. I think it's pretty well done. The characters are well done. It takes its time getting to the horror elements. If you know anything about mythology, based on the fact that the space station is called Orpheus, you can kind of see where things are going.
It's like a Matrix, like Morpheus type of thing?
Nope, not even remotely. Okay. What did you think about the book, though, Pete?
I liked the art. It was a kind of a solid first issue of setting things up. I'm not sure where it's going, but so far, so good.
All right. Moving on to another DC comic book, Cursed Comics Cavalcade number one.
Man.
As always, it's Halloween time, so we're getting a Halloween anthology from DC Comics. Bunch of different stories in here. I think I can come out and say what we always kind of say about these things, which it's going to be a mixed bag. Some of the stuff you're not going to like, some of the stuff you are going to like.
Yeah.
But what did you like about this book? What stories did you enjoy?
Which ones did I like?
It seems like maybe you didn't like this.
I liked the art on the Green Lantern one.
Oh, yeah, that was Riley Rosmo.
Right. But, you know, you're dealing with Guy Gardner, who sometimes I really enjoy. Sometimes he really annoys the shit out of me. So I wasn't too excited about that. Batman one was cool. The Swamp Thing I wanted to like, but it was so creepy.
The Swamp Thing, I think, got the closest to what I wanted out of the comic book, and it's the lead story in the issue, where it is legitimate horror.
Yeah,
with
that dog. Oh, it was so gross.
It's upsetting imagery.
Oh.
With a very dark, murky resolution, where I feel like a lot of the other stories erred on the side of superhero a little too much, that it was too much like superhero fighting, not enough actual horror.
The Superman one was, you know, it was...
I like that one as well. I think that could have honestly even gone even farther than it did, but again, that was like... Yeah, that erred on
that
the side.
That also drove me a little crazy that it was like Superman. I was like, oh, well, it must have been a dream. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. I'm like, what? Well, you waited the whole day and then...
Yeah, that actually is the weird thing about setting horror stories in a superhero world is when stuff like that happens, like there's a demon invading your nightmares. If Superman in any reasonable situation was like, hey, Lois, I think there's a demon in our nightmares, Lois would never be like, no, weird stuff like that never happens to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah, she wouldn't be like, it's just a dream. She'd probably be like,
So there's a certain artifice with these sort of things where you have to be like, it's a horror short story. It's fine. But it doesn't always quite work in a superhero world. That's all.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a fun collection with some nice creators, I think you could do worse. That's a terrible thing to say. I wish I hadn't said that. Last one we're going to talk about, back from Marvel Comics, X-Men Black Mojo number one. Now, there's a series of one-shots that are coming out every week this month that focus on a different X-Men villain. The last one was a story by Chris Claremont of Magneto. Really classic Magneto story. Brings
amazing.
It back to his villain
really
roots.
Amazing.
This one is about Mojo. It's by Scott Aukerman, and it's ridiculous.
It is.
Do you think good ridiculous or not good ridiculous?
It's kind of not good because it kind of really goes against who Mojo is.
Mojo Rising.
I always think of Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff
Mojo
Girls.
Jojo.
Yeah,
I can
Mojo
do this
Jojo. Yeah. But... you know, it's just all of a sudden he's into humans and he's like attracted to this girl, which, okay, sweet. But then everybody's like, hey, spider chair. And I was like, all right, this joke has run its course, right, guys? Nope. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird to see Mojo like this when we've never seen him before. So...
It's an interesting
side to him. I just didn't buy it at all.
It's a comedy book straight up, and it's not at all what I was expecting from this series or this issue or anything like that. Would I have preferred that this whole series was bringing the X-Men villains back to their roots? Absolutely. But that expectation aside, it's ridiculous fun. It's Mojo and Glob
hanging out.
I just hanging out talking about girls.
Yeah, in the coffee shop.
Which is hilarious. And the whole thing, the ideas throughout, they take a sentinel and mix it up with a mindless one. It's very silly.
It's just weird because of the timing of it. Like, there's so much going on around them. And I'm like, guys, you can't stop for a coffee when everything's burning. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Again, I think the thing you have to push aside is any sort of expectation you have about this comic book or the comic book world or anything like that, and think about it as its own continuity and own thing. That took me a while to get onto because I was like, oh man, this is going to be a hardcore Mojo story. What are they going to do?
I wish you had given me that pep talk before I read it.
And instead he's saying he's the pencil police and trying to date a human girl.
Pencil police.
So it's funny. It's, again, like, don't expect it to be like X-Men Black. Instead, be like, this is a ridiculous one-shot about Mojo. Have a little fun with it. Remember that this is the character that a hardcore Mojo story is. He creates baby versions of the X-Men, and I think then you'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
There you go. That is it for the stack. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Please come on by. We'll chat about comics. What do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live or on our website, comicbookclublive.com, and we'll see you at the Comic Book Show.